The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and for the next hour, I am here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're going to be talking about all manner of things that allow you to support good health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And what's on the agenda for today? Surprise me, as usual.
I wanted to reminisce a little bit.
You did?
Yeah.
How far back are you going to go?
1992.
Oh, my goodness.
And I probably spoke about this book back then, because that's when it was published. And the title of the book was Where We Stand.
I remember talking about this with you long ago.
So, 92. So that's 24 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And nothing's changed.
Well, you think about how things have to happen in order to change. Number one, medical schools need to look for new textbooks so that the students coming out of medical schools have a broad view of health, not simply treating disease.
So, there are a few graphs in here that give us some good indication about how we're doing. So, when it comes to heart attacks among men, 113.5 heart attacks per 100,000 men. Now, by itself, that doesn't mean anything. That statistic.
It doesn't sound bad. 113 per 100,000?
Yeah, yes. Now, you compare it to Japan, 28.2. Per 100,000.
Okay.
See, so...
It's those hot springs and massages and really good fish and seaweed, different lifestyle.
Which way would you like to compare? Would you rather compare yourself to Finland, which has 223 heart attacks per 100,000, saying, well, we're much better than Finland, or say we're much worse than Japan?
I like to go for the best situation out there. So let's see what Japan might be doing differently. Dr. Slavin, isn't Japan one of the primary sources for high-quality coenzyme Q10? And isn't CoQ10 something that's used by pretty much everyone in the Japanese population?
I believe so. Plus, isn't that where CoQ10 is manufactured?
Yes. Well, there's a manufacturing place here in the States.
They have one now?
But it is a Japanese facility.
Oh, okay. So we pointed this out over and over again. So Japan has one of the longest life expectancies in the world. They have a very low heart attack risk. And here's the thing that's, I think, been eluding everybody, is what is it about Japan? Now, you mentioned a few things that may or may not be the reason for it, but what is it about Japan that gives them such good numbers when it comes to longevity or low heart attack rates? Japan lives the longest, by the way.
Both men and women, or doesn't it break down like that?
Both men and women. When they, with the countries they use, Japan back in 92, 82 and a half years for women and 76.2 for men.
That's interesting because in the statistics that we were reviewing just maybe a month or so ago, the life... Bam.
Yeah, it's gone up. Yeah, over time, it's getting better. And there was a statistic that caught my attention, and I'm not sure what the explanation is. The graph was, how often do you see a doctor? What are the average number of doctor visits per year? So
I see a doctor every day.
Mm-hmm. In the United States, they had about 5.3 visits per year. And that's actually high for some people, I think. But in Japan, it was 12 visits a year.
Wow.
So I wonder if the reasons for their visits are to make sure that they're staying in a healthy lifestyle, as opposed to, oh, they're so sick in Japan, they have to go every month. I don't think that's the case. You know, when you have low incidence of heart attacks or you're living the longest, I don't think you're sicker. And so there's got to be another reason why they're going about once a month. Now, here are the other countries that go more often, too. Germany, about 11.5 visits a year. Italy.
I just want to interrupt with regard to Germany. The healthcare system in Germany is very different than it is here in the States. I don't know how it compares to Japan. I'm not familiar with it. But people have relatively natural, almost preventive approaches from their physicians, and all manner of physicians, let's say physical therapists, medical doctors, chiropractors, osteopaths, they all are covered under the national healthcare system in Germany.
Now, here's another, I think, eye-opening statistic. In the United States, we admit about 60 people per 100,000 a year for coronary bypass.
And that's 1992. Imagine what the numbers might be now.
But in Japan, it was one per 100,000. They're not doing any bypass surgery in Japan, yet they're living the longest. And have obviously a much lower incidence of heart disease. Could it be that the goal in this country is to promote heart disease so they can do bypass operations? Because that's what it appears to be.
I think that there are many aspects relating to health and longevity that are short-circuited here by our diets and lifestyles. A sedentary lifestyle and a diet full of processed foods, foods that have ingredients that are known negatives.
Another observation, hysterectomies. In the United States, they're doing 556 hysterectomies per 100,000 people. In Japan, it's 90.
Dr. Slavin, I see so many women who come to me both before and after the fact. Some of the women come to me and tell me that, yes, their doctor has told them that they must have a hysterectomy, that they have fibroids, and the fibroids are contributing to some of the issues that they're experiencing. And I tell them, if you balance your hormones, then the fibroid growth or size will be minimized, and you may not necessarily need surgical intervention. And very often, simply over-the-counter hormone balance is sufficient to address the problem. Then if they are not responsive in just 2 months or so, certainly to send someone, send a patient to someone like yourself, Dr. Slavin, with great experience with regard to testing and evaluating hormone function. Very often also women come to me afterwards that the problems that they're having are different, but they are problems after the hysterectomy, also due to hormone imbalances.
Well, you make a good point. And here again, it sort of parallels what we see with bypass surgery. It seems like we're not intervening to prevent bypass surgery. We're intervening to promote bypass surgery.
Right.
And in Japan, here's just going to another area, annual cancer deaths in an average community of 200,000 people. In Japan, it's 200 per 200,000. In the United States, it's 485 per 200,000. So there again, Japan does very well. When you look at breast cancer,
that's a statistic that over the years has gotten a lot of attention, the difference in breast cancer diagnoses between the United States and Japan.
And I think here they're using these same statistic. Japan has 21 deaths from breast cancer for 200,000, and North America has 91, which is the highest deaths from breast cancer.
Okay, and you think about 1992. What were the contaminants that were very commonly found in our foods? I think it might have been before there was the recombinant bovine growth hormone introduced into the dairy herds, but there were at this point still very commonly used dosing of antibiotics and hormone changes in the livestock herds.
Now, when it comes to Japan and ovarian cancer, the same thing holds true, about 5.1 deaths per 200,000 versus 18.1 North America has 14.2 per 200,000. But here's the one outlier or inconsistency: stomach cancer. In North America, we have the lowest rate of stomach cancer, and Japan has the highest rate of stomach cancer.
Okay, and a lot of times the information about that is explainable, and when we get back, that's one of the topics we can cover. The music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back with more. Bloated? Take a Janigest. Dealing with a little bit of indigestion? Take a Janigest. Had something to eat that you shouldn't have eaten? Take a Janigest. Be certain that you are absorbing the nutrients from all the good foods you're eating with Janigest. Easy to swallow, great to establish good digestion. Janigest. Available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Jana Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. acai, noni, goji berry in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidant and immune support benefits in capsules. Find out more at Janazon.com. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just before the break, we were talking about the differences in the diagnoses of different life-threatening situations in countries around the world, and the difference between stomach cancer diagnoses here in the United States. And keeping in mind, this is 1992, and Dr. Slavin, I think that the numbers may have changed somewhat. So very low number of diagnoses here in the United States, higher number of stomach cancer diagnoses in Japan. And one of the explanations for that is the significant difference in fermented foods and pickled foods, so that there is a change in the digestive system chemistry, and it may very well be associated with that difference in diet. More pickled foods, more fermented foods.
Now, here's an interesting statistic, and this is going to be difficult to figure out as well. Japan has the highest per capita cigarette consumption per year, 3,280, just above the United States at 3,270 cigarettes per person per year. Yeah, look at the discrepancy in life expectancy, heart disease, all these things that we blame on cigarette smoking, yet Japan seems to be immune to all that, yet they smoke the most.
CoQ10. Amazing. High-quality diet, seaweed, iodine. And again, I think since 1992, the statistics may very well have changed. I'm thinking that possibly the rates of cigarette smoking now, 2016, might be significantly lower than 1992.
But then I want to, having said that, I want to go back to this statistic for lung cancer. It says an epidemiological anomaly is that Japan, with the highest smoking rate, has the lowest lung cancer rate.
Okay, so
all those tobacco manufacturers should have looked at this.
Okay.
Now, there could be a lot of variables here. Maybe the tobacco is not sprayed with chemicals and all the other things that they might put in.
My guess is they're importing the same kind of cigarettes. Okay. My attention is on coenzyme Q10. You're going to oxygenate your blood and tissues. You're going to oxygenate your brain. Coenzyme Q10 is one of the most powerful antioxidant substances that people can take. It's going to be very protective of your heart. So there are, with that and the other aspect of it, would be diet. High intake of fresh fish, high intake of sea vegetables, those are protective.
Well, I think that's part of it. But this is typical in this country. It's always about one cause and one result. In other words, stop smoking and you'll be healthy. And that's what people do, is they don't pay attention to all the other things that are required for good health. So yeah, stop smoking and you'll be healthier. But there are a lot of other things you can't just ignore and say, well, I stopped smoking, now I can do everything else that I want to. I've seen this, for example, in patients that come for chelation. Not all of them, but occasionally you'll see someone He's doing chelation because he wants to prevent a heart attack, but he's not doing anything else to get healthy. Doesn't watch his diet, doesn't lose the weight. Hopefully, they probably take some supplements because that's easy. In other words, people are lazy and they don't want to do the hard things that it takes to be healthy.
Hopefully, they're not taking Centrum one a day, those kind of supplements, because people are being very much misled with regard to the quality of the components found in those supplements, as well as the amount of each supplement. It's interesting because Centrum, that name is 100, and the claim to fame is that 100% of the daily value is in each of those Centrum doses. And the truth is, 100% of daily value for whom? Someone who is very active, someone who has a superior diet, someone who evaluates their nutrition status. There are so many variables that it can't possibly be 100% of the daily value for everyone. And then take a look at the other ingredients. Take a look at the artificial color, the excipients, the potentially toxic ingredients.
Now, this may be one of the answers. Red meat consumption. Now, unfortunately, you can't lump all red meat together, just like you can't say all hormones are the same. You have the synthetic ones, you have the bioidentical ones. Well, when it comes to red meat, you have the factory farms raising meat that's full of antibiotics and growth hormones, or you have the grass-fed and grass-finished beef, that's going to be a much better choice. In the United States, we're looking for reasons why Japan may seem to be healthier and live much longer than we do in this country, and red meat is a big difference here. In the United States, the average daily per capita consumption is 10.64 ounces.
The average daily consumption?
Per person.
Per person, 10 ounces per day. Boy, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, and in Japan, it's 2.2 ounces.
And very often in Japan, what we see is that the protein source, whether it's poultry, bovine, porcine, whatever the source might be, that is almost like a condiment on the plate. There is very small portions. There are very small portions put on the plate, and rice and vegetables, sea vegetables, a variety of other dietary components make up the view of the entire plate or bowl.
Now, looking at beer consumption, apparently they don't like beer in Japan. Didn't make the list.
Wow, because they have some good beers.
But they did make the list with hard liquor.
Wow.
And U.S. and Japan are very close together with consumption of hard liquor, so that's not the...
Okay, is sake considered hard liquor? I don't know. Because, yes, they would be consuming sake.
And interestingly, when it comes to wine, U.S. is very low in the world.
That's a 1992, Dr. Slavin.
Yeah,
things have
up,
changed.
Huh? Yeah, at 92, we would have, on average in the U.S., 9 quarts of wine per person per year, compared to France, where they had 95 quarts of wine per person per year.
Wow, I like that French diet.
That may be the French paradox, the reason.
Right. And keeping in mind those French wines grown in a traditional manner, not necessarily processed the way certain other wines around the world might be processed. The French are very proud of their wines.
Now, when we look at... who's in shape and who's not in shape?
Okay, that's an important one.
And this was based on body mass index. And unfortunately, they didn't have Japan on this list. The percentage of people who have, I guess, the normal body mass index, the highest was in Spain, the lowest was in Sweden, and we were just above Sweden. So compared to other countries, we're heavier.
I misunderstood how you said that, Dr. Slavin.
Okay. So Sweden has the lowest number of people with normal body mass index. Indexes. Now, and what follows with that is Sweden also has, oh, this is interesting, the lowest number of men and women who are obese, and Sweden was the lowest on that. Just kind of a, you know.
Hard to compute.
Right. Sweden had the lowest number of people with a normal body mass index.
Had the fewest people,
and
yeah.
The fewest who are obese. Maybe that's a typo. I would think so. A mistake. Doesn't seem to... But
that
here's,
makes sense. No.
Now, this is an interesting statistic. Death from malnutrition in men per million people. Norway has 0. Ireland 1. And at the top of the list of these countries is United States with 7.
Well, you think about pockets of the population here in the United States that are very poor with very little access to quality health care and good quality food. And I'll just refer, as I have many times before, food deserts.
Okay, and women are 13 per million people, so it's consistent. Men and women are the highest for malnutrition. So that's where the term in this country came up, affluent malnutrition. I'm really trying to compare the lowest, the best countries with the worst countries to see if we can put our hands on what's where you get the most bang for your buck if you want to be healthy when they're comparing all these countries.
Well, regardless of the country, what I'm going to say, where do you get the most bang for your buck with regard to supporting good health? Vegetables. Kind of a different viewpoint here. Throwing that in there. Okay, the music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. More to come. Stay tuned.
Have you ever heard of a Myers cocktail? It's an effective IV treatment you should consider if you're run down or feel like you're getting sick. If you've been around a sick person, working overtime and burning the candle at both ends, then your immune system may be compromised. A Myers cocktail is an easy-to-schedule IV treatment that will deliver needed nutrient support to your body for quick relief. It will energize all the systems of your body with amino acids, minerals, and trace minerals. Call 954-748-4991 today and speak to Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, about the quick recovery available with a Myers cocktail.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Herb Slavin from the Institute of Advanced Medicine. I want to bring you up to date with another advancement in our testing capability, and that's called Integrated Genetic Solutions. And I welcome you to go to our website, drslavin.com, with the drop-down menu under Functional Medicine to look at Integrated Genetic Solutions. It combines the power of blood testing with the power of knowing your genetics in order to determine the best levels of supplements and hormones to take.
For information on the Institute of Advanced Medicine, go to drslavin.com.
Welcome Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and what we're talking about are the differences in health and well-being around the world and how things have changed or may not have changed. What we're referencing is a book called Where We Stand that compares health and mortality statistics from around the world. Very interesting that in 1992, Japan was the country with the greatest longevity. And when you heard the numbers for 1992, very impressive because numbers have improved not only in Japan, but here in the United States as well. Dr. Slavin?
Now, I think the answer to try and figure out how do we take care of ourselves the best, because at the end of the day, it's not the government that's going to be able to take care of you. It's yourself. It's an individual decision that we all have to make as far as how we treat our bodies. But we're trying to figure out what we need to do to treat our bodies optimally. And, for example, in Japan, we've just pointed out, they smoke more than any other country, yet they're living the longest.
Supposedly, their stress levels are very high, and in certain areas, there is significant overcrowding.
Maybe they know how to deal with stress better than we do. You think the stress levels are high?
Well, the work ethic and the requirements from a corporate standpoint are very specific and I think do put a great level of stress on people's shoulders.
How about the role that family plays?
That's an enormous aspect of maintaining good health. Unfortunately, I don't know enough about Japanese family structure. I do know that elders are respected, and that's about it.
The other big discrepancy we saw was their meat consumption was far lower than in the United States. I think you shouldn't overdo meat, and if you're going to eat meat, you should eat the grass-fed, hormone-free, antibiotic-free beef. It's going to be the healthiest. It's really the way it was meant to be. It shouldn't be
It shouldn't be unusual. And here in the United States, it's unusual.
Unusual what?
To have beef that may be free of poor quality components, such as antibiotic-free beef. That should be a given. Grass-fed, that's what those animals are. They are grazers, and they do very well with grass. So many of the ways of managing our livestock have been perverted.
Now, I'm going to let Janet talk about this interesting report, and that's about...
And you're leaving the room, or what's happening?
There is an admission that antibiotics, the livestock in this country consume 80% of the antibiotics used. The other 20% are with humans. And now there's an admission that the antibiotics are creating a lot of problems, including the appearance of superbugs, pathogens or bacteria that are resistant to these antibiotics. So the thinking now is they're going to switch from using antibiotics to using vaccines. Not because it's a better choice for the animals. It's a bigger moneymaker for the pharmaceutical companies. And here's how you have to look at it. They say there are 70 billion farm animals that, you know, could be vaccinated. I mean, that's a lot of money if you think about it. And I think this just creates a whole new area to be concerned about, the use of vaccines.
Okay, what are they thinking that they will attempt to accomplish with the vaccines. I can't imagine that vaccines are going to be beneficial at replacing antibiotics when you're evaluating the impact on the animal.
Well, who knows what they're trying to make these vaccines do?
Well, I'm thinking growth hormone. What might they have in the vaccines? I'm at a loss, unfortunately. My mind doesn't work in the same way as the livestock controllers.
Well, money is what the animal vaccine industry is after, not healthier animals. So if they can convince, you know, the growers of animals, you know, you got to vaccinate your animal, and maybe they don't have to convince them. Maybe they'll pass legislation that'll force them to vaccinate the animals.
The vaccine industry focused on helping farmers and ranchers maintain healthy cattle. Well, didn't we go through this in the early 1900s, that the livestock industry was so filthy and so corrupt that the government did have to step in to establish certain standards? And unfortunately, because the government is so now connected, the FDA filled with former employees of Monsanto, that the FDA is not necessarily focused on cleaning up the mess in livestock management, but rather let's do everything we can to bring our chemicals, our pharmaceutical chemicals, into this picture, with the idea that we will promote to the population that we are creating healthier and safer protein consumables.
Now, if you were to look back, let's look up a name that we're all familiar with. And that's Benjamin Franklin. I picked him up because we're all familiar with him. He was born in 1706. He died in 1790. He lived to be 84. And guess what? He was never vaccinated.
Did the government know that? Did his school know that?
So the point I'm trying to make is, you know, they're trying to sell you something that people probably don't require. Now, I don't know anything else about how he ate or lived his life, except he made it to 84, which is about as long as you could expect to make it today.
He lived the good life when he was in France. He was very much a wine connoisseur.
Maybe that was the answer. He lived in France. But the statistic that you always hear about, that we're living longer today than ever before, number one, is not true, except that they play games with the numbers, because they will tell you that life expectancy is longer today because they've changed infant mortality. And that's what's really changed those numbers around. It wasn't that we're living longer today than ever before. We have a lower incidence of infant mortality, which therefore makes the numbers seem longer when you average them all in, because that's how they compute.
The United States status in that infant mortality range is very poor. Very interesting that the United States is not doing better with regard to infant mortality. And just a little bit of information about genetically modified foods. GMOs seem to affect fertility, seem to affect the health of a pregnancy, seem to affect the delivery of live offspring, and seems to affect the life of offspring born live but dying in a matter of days to a matter of weeks. The statistics are heartbreaking. And just today on the news was information about reduced fertility here in the United States. Might it have something to do, besides social things changing, but might it have something to do with the genetic modification in foods that we've been consuming since the early 1990s?
Another name, Thomas Jefferson, born in 1743, died in 1826, lived to be 83. So why aren't we looking at the healthiest people, apparently, if they live the longest, you assume they were the healthiest, instead of going in the other direction, looking at the sickest people and say, therefore, we need to give vaccinations and give antibiotics and give all these things because, by the way, they didn't have antibiotics back then either. They didn't have vaccinations. They didn't have antibiotics. And how could it be that they were living to be into their 80s?
They had actual real food.
Right. I mean,
they made use of herbal substances to support immune function and recovery.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. I mean, if you got a serious infection, you had a much higher likelihood of dying.
That's true.
I mean, so if you had appendicitis, you probably had a good chance of dying. So there were improvements that we experience today that weren't available back then. But people had the ability to live into their 80s without the benefit of vaccines or antibiotics. In fact, without the benefit, if you could say it's a benefit, of all the drugs that are available today. And I think that's what we should be studying. How do you help people live as long as they can without the use of all these artificial substances?
Well, these artificial substances kind of come under the same umbrella as the advertisements that we see for fast food purveyors, for processed food purveyors. So you're going to see so much, unfortunately, that undermines your health, but you've been led to believe through the wonders of mass advertising that these things are going to be good for you. They're going to make you happier. They're going to make you feel better. They're going to give you better energy. They're going to give you better sleep. You're going to have a better day with the pharmaceuticals, the cookies, the fast food, the drinks.
How about James Madison?
Okay.
Born in 1751, died in 1836. He lived to be 85.
Okay, nice work, James Madison. Interesting, because
he didn't get vaccines, he didn't get antibiotics.
Thomas Jefferson was over 6 feet tall. James Madison was 5'4".
Right.
Very interesting little bits of information that we're picking up here today on Natural Doc Radio. That music means it's time for us to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Would you like a solution to elevated blood pressure? An intravenous treatment done once every 2 weeks for 1 month, then one treatment monthly with blood pressure monitoring and adjusting the schedule according to your personal needs. This has the support you need to balance and optimize blood pressure. No more unexpected fluctuations if your medication is missed. The possibility of actually reaching the underlying cause of elevated blood pressure with intravenous nutrients brings an entirely new dimension to hypertension treatment. Come see Janet Cimarelli at the Institute of Advanced Medicine to find out more. 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and I'm kind of smiling and laughing to myself because there was a caller who wanted to know, all right, Dr. Slavin, Janet, what do you take? What supplements do you take, and why do you take them? So what I mixed for myself this morning was greens powder, pea protein powder, a collagen powder, turmeric, and vitamin C powder. So that's all mixed up in a shake that I have been kind of sipping on this morning. And in addition to that, what else did I take? I took a separate selenomethionine form, and I took vitamin D. I took a folate. And why did I take these things? Because two different tests that I had, the Zytoscan here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine and the cell well-being test, both focused my efforts in those directions. Dr. Slavin, how about you?
Well, a multivitamin, you know, the six a day that I recommend, fish oil, CoQ10, vitamin D, 10,000 units a day, take extra minerals, and take a product that I like called Xenoprotect. It has a lot of nutrients in there that all in one product, because a lot of times people are forced to buy them individually, like it has diindolylmethane in there, a bunch of others, some alpha-lipoic acid, and let's see, what else? I think that's most of it, a probiotic, extra iodine, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, some of the things that you mentioned, Dr. Slavin, I don't take the same thing day after day after day. I mix it up, so I do take a probiotic. I did take a digestive enzyme this morning, so what I tell people is you don't necessarily eat the same foods day after day, but you have the opportunity to support issues where you might be developing a deficiency, where you might need a little bit of extra support to a specific function of your body. And so I kind of mix it up. You said CoQ10. Dr. Slavin, what do you think between coenzyme Q10 and ubiquinol? Do you take a different version of CoQ or just straight CoQ?
Ubiquinol, I think, is the seems to be the more popular one these days.
Well, I get a lot of feedback. People may be taking the coenzyme Q10 and not necessarily feeling dramatically better. And I will make the switch for them to ubiquinol and possibly a higher dose. And I say we need to communicate after they've been on it for a few weeks and evaluate what's the best way for them to take it. So the higher dose might do a better job for energy and overall function, but maybe you don't necessarily need to take it every day. So it could be 200 or 300 milligram ubiquinol taken Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So there are a lot of different ways to achieve excellent observable response from your supplement program.
Jana, here are the areas in the world where people live the longest. The Okinawans, you know, that's in Japan. And they live the longest of everybody. The in Pakistan, the Hunza Valley, where they say people routinely live into their 90s in good health, with many living to be 120.
Okay, now how come we don't see them when we see the headline that says the oldest person in the world just turned 114 or 116? How come we don't see anybody from the Hunza Valley?
I give up. Why?
I don't know.
They don't have TV there. The Vilcabambas, that's in Ecuador, they routinely live to be 100 and beyond.
Okay, so
while staying in good health. See, that's the key. They're living long and they're living healthy.
Okay. Claims to have reached ages of 120 and beyond, but they are probably exaggerated.
And another area, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, the Abhasha. Have you ever heard of them? I hadn't. That's an area in the Soviet Union.
There is no Soviet Union.
Well,
it was.
during Soviet times.
Okay.
Right? And they routinely lived into their 90s and beyond without any chronic disease. And this is the issue. We in this country suffer from so many chronic diseases starting at early ages. So I wanted to get in before we run out of time, what all these long-lived people have in common. They eat less overall. They eat more fruits and vegetables. They're eating healthy fats. They're staying active throughout life. And probably most important, last but not least, having a positive attitude, especially about aging. So I think that's I think an important fact. And when it comes to healthy fats, I think we've been misled in this country. We've been told don't eat fat. And when you avoid fat, that means you're eating more carbs. And that's really behind increased inflammation and many of the health problems we're facing. So, fish oil is a healthy fat, for example.
For sure. And the article that you're referencing, Dr. Slavin, talking about omega-3 fatty acids, that typically one of the components of aging, one of the measurements taken is brain size. And when there's research showing that women who had fish oil as a routine part of their daily lives, as they aged, their brain size did not decrease. So I didn't take my fish oil this morning, but I'm rethinking that decision.
So I think, like I said, routinely I recommend a multivitamin, and not a one-a-day multivitamin, a six-a-day, because minerals take up space. So if you're going to get enough mineral supplementation, you wind up taking about six a day.
Okay, and so what are some of the ways to evaluate whether you're getting the benefit of those minerals?
You have to do, you know, testing in your body, see if you're absorbing it, because minerals require an acidic stomach for your body to even absorb them. So you can be taking it and not getting the benefit if you're taking antacids, acid blockers, and a lot of people do those things, and they're losing out on those nutrients. So a multivitamin, mineral supplement, fish oil, CoQ10, and vitamin D. That would be the basics for everybody. Then you could add on if you have other issues or you just feel you want to protect yourself a little bit more.
Depending on what your individual
goals are. There may be some listeners saying, you know, I was talking about Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, all lived into their 80s. They didn't take any vitamin supplements that I know of.
That's true. They might have been taking different herbal teas, different herbal concoctions.
But they lived in a less polluted environment, which I think is a big,
I don't know. Sometimes the pollution was pretty bad back then.
That's before the Industrial Revolution. So they didn't have automobiles.
Horses.
Yeah,
but livestock.
But that's just manure.
Okay.
The air was cleaner. Except if you lived in a congested city with the smokestacks, you know, like London was known for a lot of pollution.
No, they're burning peat, they're burning wood in their fireplaces, they're breathing in the soot.
That part is bad. That's
okay,
what I'm saying.
Smoke, not smokestacks, chimneys.
Okay, but in congested areas. What else was it about then? You didn't have all the electromagnetic radiation that we're experiencing today. You didn't, they probably had stress. I'm sure they had stress, but they ate, like you said, natural foods, not artificial foods like so many people have today.
Sometimes, though, their food was very, very limited because maybe their stores had been raided or become contaminated, some different things like that. So maybe they ate oats for a very, very long period of time. Maybe their chickens were
I'm going to tell you the big difference. They didn't eat as much sugar as we do today. That is definitely a big difference.
Definitely a big difference. And that music means we're out of time on Natural Talk Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been talking with Dr. Herb Slavin of the Institute of Advanced Medicine. Be back tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Talk Radio. Brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time. And get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.